Everybody, we're back. You know, we missed a week.
Yeah.
It's all right, though. We're back. It was a good week, you know, because week eight was all right. But week nine was a little more exciting.
Yeah.
Had a little more excitement to it, you know. So it was a good time off for me and Chris. But welcome back. It's a little pocket awareness. We're back once again. Make sure that you subscribe on Spotify and iTunes. Check us out on both of those. Make sure you hit that search button, put in a little pocket awareness. You're going to see the little Marcus and Chris green logo. And then what you're going to do is you're going to hit the subscribe button, and you're going to be like, every time I hear this podcast, it's going to pop up, I'm going to listen, all right? So go ahead and check us out every single week, or at least we try to get you every single week.
And we're gonna give them a new open next week, because I'm pretty sure every podcast we've started off with, hey, guys. We're back.
We're back.
I'm pretty sure we've done that every time. At this point.
I think, but it could be like a regular thing that we do. It could be a thing.
All right, wait, we're back.
We're back once again. All right, so we got a lot of things to talk about this week. The crazy Thursday night game. I mean, wasn't that
I'm
crazy?
I'm ready for you, man.
And
can't wait.
If you've been following us, we already know how Chris feels about Cam Newton. So we're gonna get into that. We're gonna talk about some breaking news that happened. Joe Flacco might be out. And it might be Lamar Jackson time.
Has the future begun?
Can he save the Ravens?
We'll get there.
See, yeah, we'll talk about that. And then we had the Rodgers versus Brady last week. And I'm going to talk about how Peyton Manning was disrespected all week. Breeze versus Goff. And we're talking about that game and talk about both quarterbacks and kind of their outlook for the rest of the 2018 season. Then we got Dak still sucking. With Amari Cooper,
we won't have to spend too much time.
And then much more, and then we'll see if we get some other stuff. You know,
we got a little bit left. We can surprise them like Gannon surprised everybody.
We'll
get there.
I mean, with a little bit of truth,
we'll get there.
A little bit of truth sauce to start the day. All right, so let's go ahead and start with the Thursday night game. Steelers versus Panthers, supposed to be the game of the week. This is supposed to be the big game. Everybody's supposed to love and watch, and everybody's supposed to be all into it and excited and happy and ready to go.
I was happy.
That didn't work out that way.
You know, that's the one thing that I'm mad about, Marcus, that why we didn't talk last week.
Yeah.
Because I could have said something about it, like, coming up to it. Like, you know, I mean, if you were paying attention on Twitter, you know, to Marcus and I, if you were following along, the man was waiting for my text messages because he knew exactly what I was.
The first interception, I knew it. I was like, oh god,
oh yeah,
here we go.
Oh, yeah, he did exactly. That's Cam Newton. What we saw is Cam Newton. You can look at the stat line. If you just straight look at the stat line, you're like, oh, that's not that bad. 23 for 29, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. Oh, but he had 1 interception. Oh, okay, that's not bad. But if you watch that game,
yeah,
he is atrocious at the quarterback position.
He's not that bad of a quarterback.
His technique, Marcus, is god awful. He gets away with his pure athletic, God-given ability to do some of the things that he does. And you know that ball never traveled more than 5 yards downfield. And when it did,
I mean, that's why his completion percentage is up.
Yeah,
average depth of target is down.
He's just dumping it off right across the middle of the field. Little checks downs to running backs. Little reverses that come back to him. And then he just checks it down to a running back open on the other side of the field. But when it comes to he's got to make a throw down the field, he cannot do it. He cannot do it. And if you were watching, he won't do it. He got sacked all night long. He spent so much time on the ground. And I really believe that it has to do with the fact that he won't throw the ball into a tight window because he knows he can't. And he cannot anticipate a route or the coverage. So he's holding on to the ball back there. And they made it sound like, oh my God, the Steelers pass rush. Here it is. It's alive and well. Mm-hmm. Cam's holding on to the ball. He had clean pockets that he could step up into. And he's holding on to the football. And once he steps up into it, now he's exposed to the defensive ends. I'm sorry, the defensive tackles in the middle of the rush.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting himself sacked. He's getting himself killed out there. That hit that he took from Watt on his right shoulder, good God. That would if that was RG3 back there, his arm's on the ground.
Yeah.
Like if that's Goff back there, like he comes out of the game. But geez, Cam is just so big and so gifted and just so tough. It didn't even faze him.
No, it didn't at all.
Cam didn't play well last week. This week, yeah, he didn't play well. I'm not gonna defend Cam. I can't defend Cam the way he played. But Cam is having a really good season.
Turner's having a really good season.
I don't care who it is. Yeah, QBs need a good system around them. So he's got a smart coach who designed a good system around him.
Agreed.
With some good running back talent. And they got like five running backs, really, because DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel are basically running backs.
They just run reverses,
they're
man.
Running backs.
They run reverses or these little quick screens. Yeah. They just get the ball out of Cam's hand as fast as possible and let those guys just run.
Because that's why I wasn't as high as other people were on DJ Moore as a wide receiver coming out, because he can't get separation. If you can't separate in college or especially in the Big Ten, come on, how many corners come out the Big Ten besides Josh Jackson and guys who go to Iowa, Desmond King. If you don't go to Iowa, you ain't playing corner coming out the Big Ten mostly, or Ohio State. I'm sorry, because Denzel Ward, all those guys. Yeah. Ohio State, Iowa, that's about it. So he's facing those guys, baby. He plays a different division than Ohio State, so he doesn't even face Ohio State every year. Probably face him twice in his career. Yeah, he's not getting separation like that. DJ Moore is not playing, going to be a premier wide receiver, but he could be a weapon if you give him the ball. He's kind of like a little running back kind of.
He's a slot receiver.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
And Curtis Samuel's the same thing.
Well, that's the thing. They've got three guys on the roster that are the same thing. You've got McCaffrey, Samuels, and Moore. They're the same guy.
Yeah.
They're the same guy. And then
basically,
and Funches isn't that far off either.
Except McCaffrey can run between tackles. I guess that's
right.
That's the main difference.
Yeah, that's why he is what he is, and that's why he was a first round pick. But these three guys, they all play the same position. When they were talking about McCaffrey coming out of college, they were talking about him being a wide receiver. But, and can he be the guy that runs in between the tackles like a running back? They got the same guy playing.
DJ Moore's a first round pick too. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, he's a first round pick. But where was all the other wide receiver talent in that draft class?
I mean, the draft class was not that. I don't think the draft class wide receiver talent was that bad. I think the narrative about it kind of took some of those guys down. That's why you guys got guys like St. Brown and stuff, and you know, all those, some of these other guys that kind of were, you know, where did they? People are like, where did these guys come from? It's like, well, yeah, you overlooked the whole class.
Yeah.
And then you elevated people like DJ Moore. And,
shoot, I'm
you know,
glad they overlooked
and
St. Brown.
And because Calvin
Ridley.
Because he went before Calvin Ridley.
I know.
Which is nuts.
No, it was, yeah. That just goes to it. Like, why did Carolina make that decision?
Because I'm telling you, because he was rising up draft boards. Because I think his shape and how fast he was according to his shape, and you know, he has great hands, contested catches. He just didn't get separation.
That's what's twisted about the NFL, man. They got these coaches, and they're like, oh no, I can teach him to do that.
Yeah.
That's easy. I can teach him to do it.
He just needs a little work.
All the tape says that he can't do it. I can teach him.
He just needs a little work.
I can teach him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No worries.
And I'm sure you can learn how to separate better. It takes some work.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Would you rather have a guy who already can separate and then you can worry about everything else?
Yeah.
Or a guy who does everything?
That's the thing with wide receivers, though. When they come out, you can't really have a true evaluation on them in the NFL in their first two seasons. It really comes down to season number three. That's when you got a rookie stud wide receiver, they're developed and they have to be – they're good – right there, right before that contract runs out, and then that second contract is the one where you developed. You're the guy that we thought that you would be.
Yeah,
that's just the way that the timing works out for wide receivers.
But the guys who have the biggest impact the first couple of years are the guys that were crazy separation guys in college. Like that's what when I evaluate wide receivers. I know we're totally talking about wide receivers and not quarterbacks no more. But but when I evaluate wide receivers, like it's a big thing for me. Like I really. When I watch him in college, I look around and I want the guy who has nobody around him in college when he catches the ball.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved Odell coming out, because Odell never had – every time he caught the ball, there was nobody around him ever.
Yeah.
Same with Amari Cooper, right? Nobody around him ever. So, like, you could tell, okay, he's going to be able to get separation.
Yeah.
But, like, you got guys like some – like DJ Moore or guys who are always making these contested catches in college. That always scares me. Like the contested catch guy.
So let's talk about a guy. I mean, we are spending a lot of time on wide receivers, but that's an important piece to a quarterback. You need a guy who can get that separation, who you can trust to be in a window, and even if there's not a window, he'll create the window, or a guy that can get to those 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
The number one guy on the draft board, wide receiver position, is an ASU guy, somebody that you and I have gotten to spend some time watching. What are your thoughts on Harry?
I see Harry.
I'm not seeing a lot of
So that's what I'm saying. Harry's the same way. He's the same way, right? Like,
but God, is he good?
He's explosive, but I feel like that he's kind of how most tall receivers are. They're kind of stiff. They're kind of stiff in and out of their breaks. And he does have a lot of explosion, so it's kind of like maybe he could learn it. See, that's the thing. Like, that's the thing you're hoping is that he can deal with that separation. I saw a guy online today compare him to Dez Bryant, which I think is actually kind of a great comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he kind of
like that.
Because Dez Bryant never really, really got really open, but if he had a good quarterback that's accurate, or, you know, he's going to get open sometimes. He's just not going to, like, the top notch corners, he's not going to be able to just jerk him and, you know, work him that like that. But
N'Keal Harry, I see a little, maybe some early Davante Adams.
Okay.
Just because of the explosion. Like, yeah. Davante, man, that guy just, he explodes in and out of his breaks. There are two guys in the league right now at the wide receiver position that I don't think, like, when they make their decision on their break,
yeah,
their cornerbacks are falling on their butt. And one of the guys is somebody that you like.
Who's that?
It's Davante, and it's your boy out there in San Diego.
Oh, Keenan
Allen. Oh, not San Diego. I'm sorry. L.A.
Oh, I know.
Keenan Allen.
I love Keenan Allen. Yeah. Keenan Allen's one of my favorite.
Him coming out of his breaks.
Woo. I call him the Iris in the wide receivers, man.
Yes, sir.
He's and I think
I like that. I like that. That was.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Because there's like this new thing going around, like even in like the scouting community, about teaching wide receivers about acting like they're playing basketball.
Yeah,
running the routes. And,
well, did you?
You could, if you watch him, like you could see him like lift his hands up like he has a basketball in his hand.
Yeah. Well, it was funny when the Monday night game was in Green Bay.
Yeah,
and Woodson came and did he interviewed Adams.
Yeah,
and they had him lined up against each other, and Devontae's talking about how he's using basketball moves.
Yeah,
to set up the corners on their routes. So you're 100% right in that. That is what's going on right now.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs did it too. Stephon Diggs did a behind the back dribble on one of his routes.
Did he?
Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
So they're getting open, man. But back to Cam. Cam did not throw a pass over 20 yards in the air. He threw 8, 10 plus in the air, but they're all in the middle.
Yeah, because you know who he's throwing to? The guy that's larger than everybody in the middle of the field. He's trying to get the ball to Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
He threw this one ball before halftime where Olsen had three guys chasing him. They were in a chase position, and Cam just, his feet were off, his shoulders were square to the line of scrimmage. He just chucks it with a whole bunch of heat on it. No touch on the football, no arc on the football. You get it just a little bit over the barn, and you can drop it in the basket for Olsen. And this thing just, I mean, he overshot Greg by 15 yards.
Yeah.
It was just ugly. And I'm sitting there going, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
He had a bad game, Chris. He's having a good year.
He's very lucky he didn't get a second interception.
I am never going to say that Cam Newton's not having a good year. He's having one of his best seasons ever. Well, he is. He is. His completion percentage is 67%.
You're right. But you know what? When every pass is a dump off,
hey,
it's a check down.
Hey, maybe he needs to get out of the...
He's in the school of Alex Smith.
Chris, he needed to change, man. He got to protect him.
Well, he didn't do himself any service last night throwing all those dump offs, and then when he needs to make a pass, he can't do it.
I mean, that's the whole offense. The whole offense is based around dump offs, man. Like,
I mean, it is. I mean, the stats are there. The numbers are there. It is 100% about getting the ball out of his hands right away into a receiver's hands. I'm sorry, into a running back's hands or slot receiver's hands.
Yeah.
Or a quick screen to the outside. The ball needs to come out of Cam's hands.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, if you make him stand in the back of the pocket, 5-step drops, 7-step drops. Get to the top of his drop, and he's got to step up and make the throw. He does not have the technique to make an accurate throw down the field. Even the balls that are being caught down the field, if you watch the way the receiver's catching the ball, they're at the end of their range.
Yeah.
They're going way up to go get these balls. They're going way out and having no yards after catch because all the effort is in trying to make the ball, you know, be a completion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Cam's not the most accurate quarterback. But, hey, I mean, you get him a system around him. You build a nice little system. You get some playmakers around him. He can make some plays, and then he's a playmaker himself. So I get it. They just need help from the defense, which takes us to the other side in Big Ben and his night that he basically was playing.
He didn't play all night.
He seemed like he was playing North Texas.
He came out. What was it? What was it, 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter? He was on the sideline?
Yeah.
James Conner didn't even play the second half. I think he played one drive in the second half, and they was like, hey, bro, why don't you go relax? We're going to go with the 2 and the 3.
Now, Ben is a little different here. I mean, he didn't throw that many passes. This dude was 4 for 4 on passes 20 yards or more.
He killed them, man.
He was murdering them.
He killed them.
Wow.
Here's another more touchdown passes than incompletions day. 5 touchdowns. What do you have? 2 incompletions?
What is wrong with defense in NFL?
He had a perfect passer rating, 158.3.
Why can't they play defense no more, man? Like, that play with Bradberry is like, Bradberry, you're playing cover 3. Why are you going down on the hitch when you see the boy?
Yeah.
You're doing funny. You go, like, what are you doing?
That just – the football has disintegrated. The quality that's on the field is not – it's not football anymore.
Dog, like, you're playing cover 3. Play your third of the field, bro. Like, your third of the field is not the hitch route. Like, especially when you have the guy –
The linebacker came all the way out to it, too. Like, what are you doing?
He's right next to you. Like, what are you doing? Like, he literally came up on the hitch route.
Yeah, he did.
And I get that with the wheel hitch is supposed to make him even have that decision.
Yeah.
But come on, dog. Like,
it's the easiest. I love that kind of stuff as a quarterback, man. I love that kind of stuff. Because all you do is, like, I'm going to watch the hitch. I'm going to watch the hitch. Please follow my eyes. I'm going to watch the hitch. You follow my eyes. Oh, you follow my eyes. See ya.
Whoa.
See ya.
Over the top, man.
It? Ben, like, he just did this little lift of the shoulder, lift of the elbow, mm-hmm. like, and he just reset his feet and right over the top.
Crazy, man. Man.
It was gorgeous. Beautiful balls. That pass that he threw to Antonio Brown, where Antonio Brown old manned the corner.
Yeah.
And was like, watch out, young buck. I'm going to show you a move right here. Gone. See ya. Yeah. That ball was perfect. Ball was perfect.
I mean, it didn't even look like a push off of slow motion. That's how good of a push off it was.
It was phenomenal. Just that left.
It was just like. Just little, and he just off. Oh, did he just push me? I don't know. He just fallen. Yeah, it was over. He had pretty good coverage on that play too.
He was on him, but I mean, he was in chase.
Yeah,
he was in full like shit.
But he was in perfect throw chase. That still had to be a really, really good throw, which it was.
And it was a perfect ball. Yeah. Oh, man. Ben was on it. He had the presence in the pocket, too, was just right there.
Yeah.
You could see when the protection broke down on the outside and Peppers was beating the right tackle.
Yeah.
You could see Ben. He felt it immediately. You saw him drop his head. You saw the ball come up into his chest. He got a second hand on it. His pocket awareness is phenomenal.
Always has been.
Phenomenal.
Always has been.
He stepped up into the pocket on this one pass. He had Connor bailing into the flat, but then he also had Hayward Bay like just kind of like running parallel to him almost. And Ben steps up into the pocket, and you know this is just an experience. Top 10 quarterback in the NFL, he knows where his guy's going to be, and he steps up into the pocket, and it collapses on him. He's like, oh, God, this is not where I want to be, but I know exactly where my wide receiver is. And he makes this throw that you want to talk about, you know, this is not technique. Like,
yeah.
This is just an athlete making making a play. He gets that ball out there to Hayward Bay in stride, and Hayward Bay, like, jogs for a first down. It was awesome.
Yeah, he played lights out. He's been playing lights out the last couple games.
He's starting to get into his groove. That offense is getting into a groove. That defense is starting to get, you know, feel better about themselves. They're still a little weak in the secondary, in my opinion. But they were able to cover it up just with the momentum and with how, I think Carolina's offensive line finally showed its true colors. They were banged up at the beginning of the season, man. And they really put some work together at the beginning, first quarter of the year.
Yeah.
And I think they're finally getting exposed, and Cam's going to be in trouble.
It's that I'm going to play cover 3 stuff. I don't know why everybody thinks they're the Seahawks. Yeah, it's over. The Seahawks are done, guys. Switch it up. I need you to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to play defense. It's a whole Seahawks bump and run thing. They changed the rules. You can't do it no more. So you guys need to figure this out because I'm tired of seeing people just – this shit looked like Oklahoma yesterday. Oklahoma playing Kansas. Like, why is Wisconsin wide open everywhere?
I mean,
like, play some defense. Let's go.
Well, here's what you got. You got a really good linebacker group in Carolina.
Okay.
But one of those guys is getting old. Thomas Davis is getting old, man. I think he got exposed a little.
Yeah, well, Thomas Davis is 30 something, dog. He's already been old.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
He's been past like
the guy. The guy is phenomenal, and just his knowledge of the position and what they do, what they're able to do in the middle of the field defensively because of those linebackers. I mean, it covers up a lot of poor mistakes.
Yeah. Hold on, you know, Chris, I was just looking at Pro Football Focus while you're talking, and I saw something interesting about last night with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in pressure at all.
Oh, they got to him a little bit.
So he's under pressure six times. So what? So he wasn't under pressure at all.
Well,
right?
Also, how many attempts did he have? He had less than 30 attempts, didn't he?
Yeah, he had less than 30 attempts. So he had
So you could say about 20% of the time that he dropped back, he had.
That's not a lot though. 20% is not a lot.
It's not a little.
It's not a lot. So I was interested. I was like, because he was 20 for 21 from a clean pocket. When he's under pressure, he was 2 for 4. So I was like, oh, that's a little interesting. So you're telling me that maybe he struggles under pressure a little bit this year. So I went, let me go pull up the whole season. And damn.
Well,
this is interesting. I'm just like, so Ben has, his rating drops from 112 in the clean pocket to 57.
Ooh. 112. I knew it wasn't good. I didn't know it was that bad.
112 to 57.
Wow.
He's thrown four picks. I mean, only Derek Carr.
That was in one game, though. He threw four picks against the Browns.
I know, but that can't all his pressure picks can't be just from that game. Let's just be real. Oh. They can't be, right? So okay, but so is well. That comes back to that because he's not. He has
how many interceptions does he have on the year?
He has 390 dropbacks. He's only been under pressure 93 times. So that tells me that he's not under pressure at all, really. Because it's not
offensive line is playing really well.
Let me calculate that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I wonder if the line is just playing really well, right? It's opening up for Ben, and then we get to the better teams with some better pass rushers, that we might see a different quarterback. Maybe he's not. He's
interesting,
Mr. Clean Pocket right now.
Interesting.
It's something to look for going forward. I think that's definitely a we'll see for us, Chris.
There we go.
It's definitely.
Way to get that right back in there. We got the welcome back. We're back to start it. Yeah. And you can always count on a we'll see showing up. You can always count on it.
That's definitely a we'll see. I think he's getting some super clean pockets right now.
Okay.
And I think that if he doesn't, like he didn't against Myles Garrett.
No. Well,
and them boys.
So I think defenses are starting to respect the run and what Connor's doing.
Yeah.
So it gives Ben more of an opportunity to have a clean pocket.
Yeah.
Because they just can't let Connor run all over them. So they have to play both. You know, there's less of a, you know, I don't care what Connor does, just go get Ben. There's not that happening anymore.
Yeah, I mean, cuz he's seriously balling from a clean pocket, man. He's 19 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's 70% completion percentage. Like if he is no pressure, Ben is tearing you apart.
Okay.
But if he gets it's the pressure, man. But he's not under his line not is playing ridiculous.
Yeah, they're playing really well. That line that took forever for that line to come together.
I mean, see that comes back to the whole James Conner, Le'Veon Bell thing. Is like, is that the line or?
I think this is the most consistent the offensive line has been for the Steelers.
So it's
coming. I mean, over the last three seasons, it's pretty much been the same guys.
Mm. Yeah.
So continuity helps. It goes a long way.
And I think James Conner hits a hole harder than Le'Veon Bell, but it's kind of like if a play broke down and they didn't block well, who gets 5 yards? Le'Veon gets the 5 yards. That's what I think. Le'Veon's going to get the.
He'll fall forward.
Yeah, Conner will fall forward, but like
he's going to get at least two.
Le'Veon's going to juke two people and then fall forward too.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. It's going to be really interesting.
People disrespect Le'Veon a lot.
It's going to be really interesting. Well, are they going to want to block for him?
All right. Let's move on, Chris. We're at 25 minutes with this.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So.
All right. So, moral of the story: Cam sucks.
Let's move on. We're going too deep into that Thursday. I mean, it was a big game, though.
We really broke that down, didn't we?
We did.
What, running back, wide receiver?
Yeah, Big Ben.
Offensive line. Linebackers. Oh, man, we went across. We went everywhere.
Yeah, we went everywhere with that one. All right, so let's keep it moving. We got the big news of the weekend, though, is that Joe Flacco is down.
He's not out.
We don't know for how long. But if...
Is it time for Lamar?
Is it time for Lamar? Now, I think so. You know, I'm the biggest. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco is mm-hmm. one of the worst quarterbacks in football. I really 100% believe that. He has never shown me that he is a quarterback worth of anything. Because now
he never showed you.
Because now, no, he never showed.
Never once.
No,
never once in his career. He never showed you
for 3 games, Chris.
It's a career, man.
3 games. He had one good 3-game stretch, and he got. And it is. He's been super paid since then for nothing. He's been super paid for nothing. So, because even now, you can see, we had the whole discussion, right? Get him some wide receivers.
He's always needed.
Okay, so he has some. He got John Brown, who's obviously looks like he could be a number one with the good quarterback. He's showing it with the way he's been playing. Then, I mean, Crabtree can't catch anymore. I don't know what happened with that.
What did happen to that?
I don't know. He's supposed to be Mr. Hands. Remember when John Harbaugh said he has the greatest hands he's ever seen? Remember that?
I don't know where he went.
What the hell happened to Crabtree?
You know what? I know what happened to him. He left the chain in Oakland.
I guess.
I think it's still in the stadium from when Aqib ripped it off his neck both times. That's what it was. It was the chain.
Probably. I agree. It probably was the chain. So, yeah, and Joe Flacco is just, you know, he's
blah.
He's 6.5 YPA. That's what he is, man. He's just not.
Well, where'd they get him? They got him tight ends. We can't stretch the field with tight ends.
He has John Brown, Chris. You could stretch the field with John Brown, yes. But he's still at 6.9 YPA week one, 6.8, 6.9. And maybe it's just they pass too much, because I don't know why he has 379 attempts.
I can, for the life
why
of
do they
me,
treat him like he's the, like,
they've been doing this for years.
Why, though?
For years.
Why do they think he's so good?
It's Harbaugh, man. It's Harbaugh. It's been the same. They've brought in, what, 4 offensive coordinators?
Yeah.
And they keep doing the same damn thing. It's Harbaugh. Harbaugh is making that decision. That's what it has to come down to. You don't bring in 4 different guys and end up running the same offense every single season. That's just not how it works. Harbaugh is making those decisions for those guys. So I'm convinced. You know, I don't think it gets better for the Ravens offensively until there's a new head coach in town.
I don't know. The Ravens are playing some weak teams coming up. So I think...
So everybody's going to get excited for them to make it into the playoffs and lose in the first round again?
Well, we don't know, man. Maybe Lamar is just going to come out of nowhere. Because I have a thing with Lamar this year. I really think some of the games that he has came in and he played, like, just to end the game and they're getting blown out. I think he played against the Panthers or something like that. He played pretty well. He came in the garbage time against the Panthers. He was like 4 for 5, threw a touchdown.
You're going to use garbage time in the NFL as a
Chris, the reps. The reps for a rookie.
Those guys are not running as hard.
He hasn't made a start, but he's got the speed of the game. He sees it. He's been playing live football. He's been taking snaps under center. He's already kind of got the running motion. He's had some explosive
Marcus,
runs.
The game plan for him one time, and they're going to force that man to throw the ball to the sidelines.
Chris, when he's came in the game, though, he's throwing the ball, and he's throwing the ball well. I'm telling you, even when he did his little gadget plays, he had a nice – last week he had a nice one. He rolled out and hit Crouchy for 15 yards on the run.
You know it's different. You know it's different when you come in garbage time, and they're not game planning for you.
That was not garbage time,
when they
time,
put
though.
A game plan together for
that
you.
Crabtree throw was not garbage time. The Hayden throw – which is still, it was still a pretty throw. I don't care what you say, Chris.
It's a bad throw. I'm just saying, like, don't set an expectation, because here's what's going to happen. They have to game plan for both quarterbacks. And you know who they're going to game plan for? They're going to game plan for Flacco. If Lamar plays, he's going to have a big week. It's just the nature of the beast. It's a rookie quarterback in the NFL that has the ability to escape the pocket and make plays with his feet. It's just Baker had a monster first game when he came in and played in the second half. What happened once they started game planning for him? Who's talking about Baker anymore? Nobody's talking about Baker anymore. We're not talking about Baker anymore.
Yeah. Baker's playing all right.
Okay. He's playing he's playing all right.
He's playing all right. He's like a rookie.
Yes.
I still think he's playing the best out of all the rookies.
I would completely agree with you, but it's not what happened in game one in that second half. You're not getting anything special. Lamar's gonna come in. If he plays that game, he's gonna do something special.
Oh, I know.
He's gonna do something special.
And Flacco's not getting his job back.
If they continue to stay with Lamar, the next week when they game plan for him, it's going to be awful.
I think he has like a Kaepernick type of thing. That's what I think. Like a Kaepernick type. Maybe not the same run, but I think he has the same kind of explosiveness. Because I think.
Oh, I agree.
Because they did the same thing with Kaepernick.
Absolutely.
And I think Harbaugh, over the years, he did it longer, though. He did it to over 2 years, but he kind of groomed Kaepernick into football speed and kind of eventually he gave him some throws.
Sure.
And eventually he'd give him some more touches. And eventually, and then, you know, game is kind of already slowing down instead of Lamar just sitting there on the sideline with the with his hat on, inactive, just watching and watching. And then the Flacco gets hurt, and let's go, Lamar. He's already been suited up. He's already thrown some NFL passes. He's already kind of got warmed up. I think he's going to play well at first, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with you at all. Just temper your expectations. Just temper your expectations. It's going to be a good first week for him, and just take it easy for what
I'm tempering my expectations for him. I think he's going to have some – I think the reps – you know, it's crazy because they can't do that with other rookie quarterbacks, because the rookie quarterbacks can't come in and just, like, run the ball and be, like, and try to get the game speed early. Like, you can't give Sam Darnold, like, a series and then put Josh McCown back.
Right. No, no.
You can't do that, right? Because it messes up the flow of the game and everything.
Right. Well, shoot, what they're doing with Lamar, it's messing up their offense.
Yeah, it is.
They have no rhythm offensively with doing
that's true,
that.
But it's helping Lamar, though.
It is. It is. You're right. I just temper your expectations.
I'm not even gonna
hit you with a we'll see right now. I'm not even gonna do that. Just temper the expectations.
Okay, I'll temper them a little bit. But
right, that's gonna be. When we
I see a big run, man, because they're playing. They're gonna play. Like, they play the Raiders, and I think they play the Bucks, and then they play.
Well, it depends where you play the Buccaneers, because if you play them in Tampa, that's a different team.
Yeah, but they still have a terrible defense. Their defense is worse than the Raiders, so. That tells you the Raiders are on pace for historically the worst defense in the NFL, and the Bucks are worse. So I think Lamar will be okay. He'll definitely be okay against the Raiders. There's no Raiders speed, so I got to see him running 200 yards and me being mad that he's in Oakland. Just everywhere. I'm already having bad dreams about it now that I saw Flacco's hurt. Now I have to watch him run 200 yards in the Raiders.
Just temper those expectations.
With Frosty Rucker trying to catch him at the defensive end position. When he's at zone three. Get him, Frosty. You can hang with Lamar. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. All right. So, Joe Flacco, he's probably done. I wonder what team he's going to be on next year. What team you think? Where do you think he goes?
He might be in Miami.
Miami? No, Miami. Gase likes Tannehill.
Can't stay on the field.
So the thing is, but Gase likes Tannehill, and Gase he's in that 5-4 range. Maybe if I get Tannehill, I could make the playoffs.
Yeah. I can fix him.
And it's not bad for a coach to be like that with the quarterback, though. I think that gives Tannehill a lot of confidence.
Agreed. I would agree with you.
So I think that Gase got in an argument with a reporter, a Miami Herald reporter, mm-hmm. who was trying to basically tell him that Tannehill sucks and he needs mm-hmm. to bench him, and Gase was like hard on him, like, no, like, Tannehill's good. He started naming some stats that he played well with and started going, like, over his rating when they were on their winning streak and all that stuff. And, yada, yada. So when mm-hmm. he starts doing that, you mm-hmm. know, Tannehill's going to get every single shot to keep that. They're giving him at least another year. At least.
Okay.
I can feel it. Because they're probably like, we were 3-1. If we didn't get hurt, we'd be 6-3. You know, they coaches talk themselves into when they lose a quarterback. They talk themselves into things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they like, if we could just work it out with them, it'd be good.
Parker's gonna be pissed again when they pass on a quarterback in the draft next year. Hey, but Ryan, I'm watching the draft.
The thing is, Chris, there is no quarterbacks in the draft.
It's gonna be.
We'll talk about that in March, though.
Yeah, let's
we'll save that for January. Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see.
We'll save it.
No first round grades
we'll
for me so far.
We'll see.
All right. What else we got?
Should we stick on the injury train?
Yeah. Okay. Let's stick on the injury train. Do Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant finally getting on the practice field and blows out a wheel.
The old man injury, the torn Achilles.
That is insane. Like, I don't even know, man. Like, I couldn't even imagine.
See, I think it's going to really mess up Dez because he's already slow.
Oh, yeah. No, mentally he's shot.
Yeah, he's slow already too.
That's I don't know. Not good. If I'm him, I'm going to see what Suggs is doing, man.
Should have took that 3-year contract.
Shoot. Yeah, no kidding. Should have took that money in Baltimore. No kidding.
You would have waited for a contender, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Should have took that
That was a three. What was it?
Three years, 21 million.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. 7 a year.
Yeah. So I mean, it had to be like at least seven guaranteed. You'd at least have $7 million right now with the torn Achilles.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Shoot.
You just said
no. I, he wouldn't. I, he wouldn't have.
He turned down the Cleveland deal too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Damn. He should. He needed to get in there beginning of the season. He really did.
Man, like he really. You waited and then you took a veteran to play on a good team and you tear your.
But I cannot tell you how excited he must have been. I'm gonna go play with Drew Brees.
I know he's like he's dreaming of that back shoulder.
And then he's sitting there going, and I'm not even the guy. Like let Michael Thomas go. I get to just you know when Drew decides that he wants to throw something my way.
Nobody's double teaming me.
I'm gonna catch it, Drew. Just throw it. I'll catch it.
There's no double teams. Where's the double teams?
I promise. I won't do what Odell does. I won't go yell at a fan. I won't go knock over a bike. Like just throw me the ball. Come on, please.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he would have been super happy over there. I mean, he just wanted Romo. He just wants Romo back.
Sure he wants. No kidding.
He wants Romo back.
He's got to call that Corona hotline. He'll talk to him. I'm loving those commercials, man. That was great. I love Tony on TV.
Yeah.
I love what he's doing now, man.
I know, man. Tony was a disrespected quarterback his whole career by Cowboys
absolutely.
Fans.
Absolutely.
Disrespected. Disrespected by Cowboys fans. All right. And that kind of leads into another quarterback who has been disrespected all week, which has been bothering me. It's been bothering me all week. This whole Rodgers versus Brady GOAT campaign. I got to talk about this.
Let's go.
Like, how can they disrespect Peyton like this, man? Peyton has every passing record.
Because the NFL is one thing. If it's not consistent, it's what have you done for me lately?
Big time, man. I follow the sports writers. I swear they're chameleons, man. 1 week, this guy's the greatest quarterback ever. Then he throws four picks. Oh, my God. He's terrible.
It's the overreactions that happen consistently. You know, I don't know. I don't. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is now. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I'm not going to say that, but
he's the only guy with a career passer rating over 100, right?
No, Romo too.
Romo is also?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, Romo. I think Romo has the highest of all time. He did when he retired.
Okay.
I think he did when he retired.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. Rodgers might have passed him by.
I think Rodgers is the only guy with a career quarterback rating over 100. I'm almost positive. I think he's like 107.5 for a career rating. And if I hit that on the head, man, I'm going to be beside myself. I don't know how that number stuck in my head. All right,
so NFL passing rating career leaders. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, 103.5. You're right.
103.5.
Right. I think Romo's fifth. I'm way off on that. Well, I guess it's been when Romo retired, like he was like number one.
Yeah, but what was it? What's Romo's number?
97.1.
Okay.
It's still high.
I told you Rodgers is the only guy over 100.
Yeah, Rodgers is the only guy over 100 for now.
So, I mean, that's
for now at least.
Well,
that is still a big stat.
That is a monster stat. And Brady gets all the love because of, well, the guy's got 5 rings.
Yeah.
And he's doing phenomenal things in New England. He's 40. He's over 40, Marcus. You were sitting there going, is it time? Is it going to happen?
Yeah.
Are the wheels going to fall off for him? Nope. It's not happening.
Is it weird that Derek Carr is 19th all time in passer rating?
No. I don't think that's weird. I think there's still a lot of career.
I guess it's weird because Andy Dalton is 16th. This is a weird stat line.
That is an actual stat line for quarterbacks. Don't come at me with any QBR nonsense.
I'm not going to. But it's just weird. But it's just funny how like the games change because Andy Dalton is 16th. He's just right behind. Yeah, actually, Matt Schaub is ahead of him at 15th.
I mean, you're talking about guys that were consistent throughout their careers.
Players. Matt Schaub had a good like 3 to 4 year.
Well, don't forget if you're talking about some of these guys, who are they throwing to?
Well, Matt Schaub had it. Andre Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
Dalton had AJ Green.
Exactly. So you got guys that are successful, but it's not just by themselves. They're getting help across the board with some of the people they're throwing the ball to.
Yeah, but Peyton's still 7. Peyton's 7 at 96.5, so it's still really high, especially with the era he started in.
You're no kidding.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Especially the way his career started.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy high.
But yeah, okay, give it to me. So they're all Brady and Rodgers, and there was no word on Peyton.
There's no Peyton, man. I thought it's just not Peyton's just totally out of the GOAT conversation.
Why is Peyton not in the GOAT conversation at all? I feel like nobody considers him the GOAT ever. Nobody does. Like, why? Why do people not even put him in the conversation? That's what bothers me.
Because you know what? Peyton's doing a lot of other things that's not football related.
But even when he was playing.
When he was playing, they talked about how great he was. They always did.
They did, but they would never compare him with Tom Brady and be like, oh, he might be better than Tom.
Every year when it was Brady versus Manning, they always talked about how great these two guys were. Always.
That's true, but they rarely said that there's a chance Manning was better than Brady. It was rare. Rare thing.
Well, Brady did have... I mean, they look at what Aaron Rodgers' potential is still.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is in his mid-30s, and they're still talking about his potential, like what he can do in his career. Brady and Manning, they were at the same point in their career.
Yeah, they kind of started at the same time. That's why
exactly.
It's a rivalry.
So the comparisons weren't – I mean, it wasn't who's the GOAT. It's these two guys are the best that we've got. Like, look at what they've done.
Yeah.
So I think that's what played into a lot too, but it's – it's all about what are you doing for me lately in the NFL.
It's just crazy, man. I just think Peyton needs some love, man.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
Because I don't know if you ever watched that detail show that he does where he breaks down.
I've seen little clips, and I love it.
And he showed a similar route that he threw for his between Mahomes and him, and it was like a corner post, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird. It was just, this is why I know he's the GOAT. Because watching Mahomes throw it, right? Yeah, it looks really nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then watching Peyton throw it, because he shows his record breaking touchdown for Dan Marino was at the corner post, and he threw the ball when he was going to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
The ball was already in the air.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference. I mean, that's how guys have careers like Peyton Manning.
The ball, like,
because
Chris, he wasn't near the top of the route yet. The ball was in the air, and then when he got to the top of the route, it was perfectly placed to his chest.
That's playing that quarterback position, man. That's that anticipation. That's that knowledge of who's going to be where and what. Those are the elite guys. You got guys like Mahomes who can hold on to that ball forever for two reasons. One, because he can, because he's got a freaking fire rocket coming out of his shoulder.
Yeah.
And for another reason, he's not there yet.
That's true.
He's not there yet. He doesn't know that he can make that throw that early and not have to launch his arm out of his body to make that throw happen. He can take an easier throw. He can get the ball out of there. He doesn't have to worry about the pass rush. He's not taking a hit because he's making the throw come out
it's
of his hands.
That timing in there. It's just crazy how he just timed it up, though. It's just,
that's years and years of practice, and that's putting the time in training camp and in the beginning of the season. That's what makes the guys like that so special.
That's what I'm talking about, man. It's crazy that we just forget that. Like watching that play, and I was like amazed. Like what the How did you even?
No,
you don't even see that anymore. Like when's the last time you really? I mean, Goff does it sometimes.
Goff is starting to do it, but he's got the luxury of, I think, a topic that you want to get into.
Yeah, we'll get it. All right, let's get into Jared Goff. It's a great transition. So, you know, we got the great game of the week last week was Rams versus the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty big game. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas torched Marcus Peters a lot. Drew Brees went off like he has been all season, which told you they're already saying he's MVP, even though Mahomes is going to break every single touchdown record. But nope, Drew Brees going to get it.
Are you going to let the stats come? Are you going to let them just happen? Or are you going to keep doing this every time? Are you going to keep doing this every time?
I'm already seeing it.
Drew's playing amazing.
Yeah, but the sports writers, they've already given it to him. He's getting his honorable MVP. He's never won it. You know, we just got to give it to him.
It's going to be a part of the conversation. You're very right.
But yeah, he's playing lights out. He's playing lights out.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. But we're going to talk. Let's talk about the other guy. Because, I mean, talking about Drew Brees is kind of redundant. Yeah, he's 18 touchdowns, one pick. He does it every year. He's completing 77% of his passes. So yeah, he's Drew Brees.
Good.
He's Drew Brees.
So good.
And then he has a top-notch receiver now. Has he ever really had a receiver like Michael Thomas?
He had Colson.
But he's not Michael Thomas, though.
Well, no, he didn't have the speed, but God, that guy was big.
Yeah, he was good.
That guy was good.
But I think Breeze made Colston more than Colston helped Breeze. I think because, you know, Breeze is the most accurate quarterback ever.
That with those elite type of quarterbacks, you're going to have that. It just doesn't matter. Those wide receivers are going to come in. So you put Michael Thomas in Miami. You think he's going to have anywhere near that type of production?
I think somewhere close to it.
You think so?
Somewhere close to it. Because he can get open.
Well.
He's hard to guard. He's hard to cover.
So I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but I'm just saying, like, it does. I don't think you can say because he's got a receiver, that's why.
I think it's a perfect mixture of receiver who can get open. Because I'm telling you, Michael Thomas, if you play with Tannehill, he's a little late with the football sometimes, but he's accurate. So if Michael Thomas can get separation, and Tannehill will be able to get it to him. So I feel like he still have a big year with Tannehill. It wouldn't be. This year, like he's having with Drew Brees. Right.
No, absolutely.
He'd be like 1,100-yard guy. He'd be like a 90-catch, 1,100-yard guy with Ryan Tannehill. With Brees, he's like a 90-catch, 1,600-yard guy.
Did Landry ever get there?
Yeah, Landry was there. Landry led the
He had 100 he had 100
catches like every year. So it's kind of the same thing. But, you know, Michael Thomas is way more explosive than Jarvis Landry. Yes. You know, Jarvis Landry read a 4.77 at the combine. Never forget that. He's a fullback.
I think that's the third time that we've mentioned that in this existence.
He's a fullback, a wide receiver. But, you know, Breeze is Breeze. He's special. But, you know, let's talk about Jared Goff. Let's go in a little in-depth in Jared. Let's kind of end the show this way because we're almost at an hour.
Okay.
To be honest. Let's
get it.
And then maybe we'll crack on Matthew Stafford in the show. Okay. But
we'll get two cracks in to end it.
Two cracks on it. All right, so Goff is 30 yards, right? He is, you know, he has a YPM 9.7, which is nuts, which we'll get into why that is. He's got 20 touchdowns.
I'm waiting for you to say it.
20 touchdowns. But we're going to get to a special stat.
And I love.
A percentage.
If I was an offensive coordinator, this is how I'd run my offense.
Yeah, I know it. He is throwing play action 37%.
I love that.
Of the time.
I love every second of that.
37% of the time. He doesn't have
quarterback clean, man.
All his interceptions. I mean, his rating is still really high. Not in play action. It's a little lower. But, I mean, all his interceptions have come from him doing straight dropbacks. Mm-hmm. All six. Mm-hmm. And the Rams are 11 personnel all the time. That's all they do. They come out, three wide receivers, one running back. They don't even play a fullback.
No, they don't need to.
Spread you out.
They don't need to.
Cooper Kupp is on the field every single snap.
Absolutely.
Like it's, you know, it's totally different. They have three starting wide receivers.
Yes,
that's how they do.
They have three ones. Yep.
They have three ones. Doesn't matter. And they give Goff easy-ass throws all day. He does. He has easy throws all day.
I completely agree with you. We saw some gorgeous throws though throughout the season.
He's
throwing the ball really well.
He is. I mean, he's the number one pick in the draft. Yeah, he's gonna. If you put a good system around him, and he in college has all the elements. He's a great deep ball in college. Yeah, was very accurate with the football in college. Mm-hmm. Great placement. He had great feet in the pocket in college. Everything you see from him is there. But like sometimes in college, he just got a little pick happy. Sometimes he would just get some games. He just was off. And I think you see that sometimes here, too. He's had a couple slow starts, but eventually the offense is so set up around him that he starts getting that play action going. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, right? So he's a hard evaluation. He really is to me because I don't know. Like, it's hard to decide if he is really, really good at this point or is that just the offense is just humming. It doesn't matter.
It's humming, man. That offense is humming
And he's just good enough to make the offense go.
I don't.
And it's his second year in offense.
I know it's that's you're hitting the nail on the head right there. He's still trying to figure it out, and McVay just keeps putting him in successful situations.
Yeah.
The what they are doing in LA is just you're watching poetry in motion over there.
Yeah.
And watching that against Drew Brees, like there was nothing more beautiful in the quarterback play than that entire game.
I know.
It's just sitting there in awe the entire time.
Yeah, he was. I mean, Goff is really playing well. He is.
Absolutely.
He is. But he still is that play act. Because I'm telling you, and Goff really didn't do well. He didn't do well last week. Mm-mm. But they never stopped the play action.
No, because that's the offense. That's what you run.
Yeah.
You stick with the offense. He's still a threat.
Yeah.
He might not have done well, but he's still the threat, and you have to honor that threat the entire time.
And that's why Gurley is still the most important piece on that team.
Agreed. Because you're right.
Because even if he gets hurt, let's say he gets hurt, and Malcolm Brown comes in, does that play action work the same?
Nope, it does not. It absolutely does not.
Can Goff could probably carry that offense for a little bit.
See, now this is where it's going to get interesting. You put that team down more than two scores, you get 17 points on them, and then they got to go to a straight drop back to get back into the game.
Well, they did that against the Saints, though. No, but see, they didn't stay straight drop back.
That's what
though.
I'm saying. You're right, if you put them in that situation where they need to put points up fast, that's when he's vulnerable because he gets into those straight drops.
Yeah.
And I saw it in the Packer game.
Yeah.
You get some pressure on him, he is not staying committed to the pocket. The game is speeding up on him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know where to go with the football. And then when he does figure out where to go with the football, the throw is not there.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
So there is an opportunity for teams to be able to take advantage of that. But if he starts running into those situations enough and becomes comfortable, then I'm going to say, forget it, dude. Like, the Rams are going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. But we haven't got to that situation.
No. Because we haven't gotten
it. It was funny.
You know what? It'll happen, though, in these big games. The game against the Packers, game against the Saints. You get closer to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to get tested in the regular season. There's nothing. That division's so bad.
Yeah.
That they're just going to steamroll their way into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You get into that first playoff game, and it's going to be a home game in L.A.
Yeah.
In a town that's not big on football.
Yeah.
That stadium was half filled with Packer fans. I want the Rams to be the number one seed because I want to run through L.A.
You want to go through?
I want to go through L.A. I do not want
to go
to
that game?
New Orleans.
Would you go to that game?
Oh, yeah. I'd be there. Absolutely. I would be there. I want the road, if I'm, just as a Packer fan.
Yeah.
I want the road to the Super Bowl to go through L.A.
Because if it goes to New Orleans, nobody. Dirk Lorenz is going to the Super Bowl. I've 100%.
It's going to be near impossible. It's going to be near impossible to beat. You really got to put a complete game together to beat. It's going to be a shootout, and you just got to hope that you get the ball last. If you're going to be in New Orleans, that's what it's going to come down to.
I don't think Brees, because when he won the Super Bowl, they had home field. Like, there's really. I've never seen Drew Brees lose in the playoffs at home.
Well, see, they almost did to the Vikings.
They almost, but
Favre gonna Favre. I'm gonna tell you if the Packers are in that same situation, you're gonna tell me Aaron Rodgers can't do it.
Yeah.
Ty Montgomery did the fans of the NFL the biggest disservice
by not letting
Aaron Rodgers on that field with a timeout, 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and a 2 minute warning
against the Rams
just to get in a field goal range.
Yeah.
Rodgers does it in 43 seconds without a timeout.
Yeah. That's right. I wonder how fast
the Packers were getting the ball back.
Yeah.
Rodgers is going to get them in field goal range. Crosby's lights out right now.
Yeah.
That game was over. That was going to be their first loss, not the one in New Orleans.
That's true. You're probably right. Because Goff didn't play well that week. He didn't play well
the
that week.
The Packers defense came to life. And I feel like that's the blueprint. If you're going to beat the Rams, you have to do
well.
They kept them in third and long, though. Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Straight drop back, and you can't do play action on third and long.
Nope.
And that's how you beat
them. And they sent the blitz so that his decision-making had to be right quick. there and there.
Yeah. So
that's the game plan. If you can get – and they almost did it. They almost did it. They got that one stupid pass down the sideline to Gurley where it hit off of the frickin' defender's helmet, and Gurley gets the ball dropping in his hands – and they had to review it because they called him out of bounds. Did you watch the replay?
Yeah, I watched.
The defender landed on Gurley's leg, which forced his foot to land in bounds.
Yeah, I tell you.
It was such a fluke.
Lucky.
Good teams are lucky as hell. If they don't make that completion, the Packers are up three scores.
That's what I'm saying, man. Good teams are lucky as hell, man. Because when the Raiders were good in 16, they had some super lucky plays, right? And it's just like that's what good teams have, these like, oh, bounce off somebody's head and then land on somebody else and he runs it 50 yards for touchdown. Yeah. That's what good teams do. Yeah. Crap like that happens to the 13-3 teams. It happens every year.
You're right. It doesn't happen to those 6-10 teams.
It does not. 13-3 team has the ball. He lands on somebody's foot or like they have a bad call or all types of stuff.
Yeah.
That's half of winning a football is luck. Mm-hmm.
a lot of the time.
Well, everything happens so fast. It really is a game of inches.
Yeah.
It really is a game of inches.
All right, Chris, we're at an hour.
Well, so I want to hit on two things fast. We're at an hour.
Okay.
We'll kill it here.
Okay.
I want to talk about the primetime game of the week. The game that everybody's not going to be watching. Monday Night Football.
Why are we talking about Nick Mullins?
I just want to laugh about it a little. No, you know what? No, I like Mullins. I'm really jealous of the situation that he's in. If there was a guy that I wanted to be, that's the guy that I wanted to be.
I mean, he played the Raiders, so I don't want to give him too much credit.
The guy came in through three touchdowns, no interceptions. This is a dream. I don't care what happens the rest of the season.
No interceptions.
I don't care.
Pressure. He had no pressure. And he had guys running wide open because the Raiders have no idea what they're doing.
That is a dream scenario.
And the Raiders are a funny team because Conley is actually pretty good. The corner, nobody throws to him. So they've kind of just ignored him already. He's like, well, I guess he's good. So all these rest of these guys suck. So let's just throw to this side because they don't even throw to him. No. I mean, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And they keep him in the middle. And that's all he had because he had guys just running wide open. Because, I mean, when you got Leon Hall in the slot against Richie James, it's Leon Hall. Yeah. He's like 40. Yeah. So I don't know about Nick Mullins, man.
Well, I'm excited about the kid, but here's what it's really going to come down to. What? This is a primetime game. This is going to be Eli Manning's last game.
You think so?
He's going to be on a national stage.
I mean, but Kyle Letta already got arrested. So
but they're not going to cut him.
They didn't cut him.
They didn't cut him, and they're not going to cut him. So this is it. This is Eli's farewell
Letta,
game.
Huh?
This is his farewell game. Nobody's going to see
Richmond
it.
Richmond Spiders.
Nobody's going to see it.
I don't know. He might be Kirk Cousins, man. I don't know. I watched his little documentary with Kirk Cousins. He's a pretty smart kid. He knew NFL offense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is it. Bye, Eli. You had a career, man. You did your thing in the Super Bowl.
So the thing,
you're going to go out, and it's not going
to
be pretty.
And the Jaguars are going to pick up Eli, aren't they? And then he's going to go 6-10 with them. And
it's done. His career is over.
He had to play with Jalen Ramsey after he ripped him.
Yep. It's over. His career's done. This will be the last game.
He's going to play for the Jags next year. I think Jags.
This is the last game for him as a Giant.
Jags are to cut Bortles for sure, I think.
I think you're right, too.
Yeah, because I think his only this year is guaranteed for him. So yeah, he's out. He's gone.
Yeah.
All
right, so let's end on the Rich Gannon comment.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're going a little over, so let's hit him with it. Let's hit him.
So Rich Gannon let his feelings out about Matthew Stafford. I guess he was sick of his play against the Vikings, which I don't know if that was the most fairest game to rip him on. I mean, he got sacked 10 times. I don't think that was and he lost Golden Tate. I mean, you come on, man. He really kicked him when he's down.
He did.
I mean, it's so he said it's true, but damn.
Yeah, but I mean, he kind of had it coming.
Damn, man.
He kind of had it coming.
So let's see what he said. All right, so Rich Gannon. About Matthew Stafford. This guy is overpaid. He's been one of the highest paid quarterbacks over the last 4 or 5 years, and he's a stat king. He picks up a lot of yards of production in garbage time. But Stafford replied, "I don't need to answer to Rich Gannon."
he just said, "Shut up, Rich Gannon. Don't call me out. Let me earn my money. I don't need you. I don't need you telling me that. Don't point out the fact that I never beat teams that are over 500 ever.
No,
I think I got 3 wins against teams over 500. If I'm Matthew Stafford, it is not pretty.
Yeah, and Detroit Free Press, they're hyping him up. You know,
you can't talk about our boy like that. You
can't talk about our boy like that.
No,
he averages 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions the last 3 seasons,
and we can't get into the playoffs."
Yeah, I mean, Rich Gannon has a point.
He definitely has a point. 100% he has a point.
Yeah.
The only reason that you draft Matthew Stafford in fantasy football is for garbage time because he's going to get you all of his points. He's going to go the entire game, throw 2 interceptions and 150 yards passing, and then in the fourth quarter get 3 touchdowns and 200 yards. He's garbage time.
I mean, he's not always garbage time.
Rich Gannon is 100% correct.
Stafford is a good quarterback, but good quarterbacks, sometimes they're terrible. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're good. I think good quarterbacks are just inconsistent. He's just inconsistent. Like some day, you don't know what you're going to get every week. One week, you might, oh, man, he's number one pick in the draft, 2009. It makes sense. Next week, oh, man, why did you draft him one? He looks terrible. Next week, oh, he's all right, man. He played pretty good that week. He's, you know, he did enough for them to win. Next week, oh my God, he threw for, you know, that's
I'm telling you,
that's the good quarterback thing.
It's the same thing every week. It's the same thing.
It's not
the same thing every week.
He's up and down every week, man. I mean, there's a reason, like, you know, the NFL executives voted him number 7 for quarterback last year. People have he's up and down. He's inconsistent. Like, he is sometimes he's really good, sometimes he's really, really bad, sometimes he's right in the middle. You know, it's just how good quarterbacks are. It's like you get to, like, guys like I'll use Derek Carr is kind of the same way. Like, sometimes Derek Carr is terrible, sometimes Derek Carr is awesome, sometimes Derek Carr is just pretty good. And, you know, it's just kind of up and down. And that's how kind of, you know, Kirk Cousins, same way. Kirk Cousins, one week, Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback. You know,
no, I'm not even going to get, no. You can stick to your comparisons. You use Derek Carr, you use, you know.
But Kirk Cousins is the same way. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback.
No, Kirk Cousins is who we thought he was.
Sometimes Kirk Cousins will fumble every down.
And I'm not letting him off the hook.
Sometimes he'll fumble every down, but then one week he's under pressure just throwing dimes. I'm telling you, that's the good quarterback thing. And I think good quarterbacks are very frustrating for fans. I can understand it because you want your guy to beat Tom Brady mm-hmm. and just be great every week. And mm-hmm. it's not. He's a good quarterback there, depending on what defense they play, depending on how the other team plays them. There's a lot of things go into it for them to be good. You know, and mm-hmm. that's where I'm confused about Goff. Going back to Goff, I was like, I don't know if he's great. I don't know if he's good
yet.
We're
gonna find out.
And I think
we're gonna find out.
And I think he's in the good spectrum, being elevated to great by his offensive coordinator. Yeah. All right, Chris. Sounds a good week.
Yep.
You know, I got a little sidetrack question. I got a couple minutes. Do you think ASU gets to 8 wins?
I do, man.
You think so? I think so too.
I think that they're actually, aren't they in position to win the South?
I don't know, dude.
I think they're in position to win the South.
If they win out, right? But they already lost. If they beat Oregon, right? They got to beat Oregon.
I think so.
They'll beat UCLA this week. I hope. Okay, I'm not sure about that.
At home?
I hope.
It's the last
I don't want to be that sure on recording.
It's the last home game.
I don't want to be that sure on recording.
Well, you don't want to do what I did?
No.
Where you're in the prime position, everything looks fantastic, and all of a sudden what's supposed to happen doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You don't want that to happen to you?
No, I don't.
It's not a good feeling, Marcus.
Exactly. So I'm gonna say I hope they win on Saturday. I hope they come out and do a good game. I'm not going to do it for sure thing. But they should, and they should be U of A, so that the big one.
They better be U of A. Oh, I do not want to deal with that.
Oh, man.
I do not want to deal with that.
So.
And his inconsistencies. Oh, my God. If he does something awful against U of A, I'm
Just get the – if he get the 8 wins, man, Herm's probably going to – he's going to –
Herm's – they're going to be good, man. I'm really excited for what happens next year.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah, they're good. Recruiting class could be a lot better,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's about it, guys. Remember, make sure you check us out on Spotify.
Click that subscribe on
iTunes. Like, remember, look for the green picture. Put the name in. You'll see the green picture.
It looks good. It's a good starting point. If we can – Have these subscribe buttons hit a few more times, maybe we'll step the game up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we appreciate you guys listening, checking us out every week. I'm Marcus.
I'm Chris.
We'll see you next week.